Imagine a world where skateboarding games don't really exist. This week on It's So Bad, we take a look at Thrasher Skate and Destroy for the PlayStation, a game made at the same time as Tony Hawk's Pro Skater on It's So Bad. Podcasts.
Yep, I'm back. I'm here.
You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, etc. And this week we are adding the game known as Thrasher Skate and Destroy, the PlayStation 1 release, and has not been released anywhere since then, I don't believe.
By Rockstar? Did they develop it or just publish it?
Published it. Okay. So Rockstar Games published this game. It's actually the first Rockstar, I think, published game on our endless list, which we were adding this game to. It was developed by Z-Axis.
Oh.
A little known company. But we're adding this game to our endless list, which is a list of video games, good, bad, otherwise, interesting, uninteresting.
Ones that exist, bad. Basically.
Every game that exists. That's the criteria.
Right.
Exactly. Do we want to play this game?
Yeah.
And if we don't want to play this game, would this game be interesting to play?
Yeah, are we willing to play it?
For the list.
Right.
So right now we
make sacrifices.
We have 57 games on our endless list. It's ranked in order of, you know, does the game hold up? Is it important to the canon known as video games? How was it viewed at the time in terms of graphics, gameplay, soundtrack, etc.? And many other factors that we consider when we're ranking these games. Right now, the rankings go from Super Mario 64 all the way down to number 57, Jurassic Park Trespasser. And what is Thrasher Skate and Destroy, Matt?
So as you mentioned, Thrasher was made in a universe before Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
Well, it was made actually like the exact same time as Tony Hawk Pro
Skater. Right, but as they were developing it, they didn't have Tony Hawk Pro Skater to go off of.
It's made in a vacuum. This game came out in September of 1999. What else came out in September of 1999? Tony Hawk's Pro Skater.
You're right, yeah. I thought it was a trick question. It's a sim. I would say it's sim-like in its mechanics, taking like a realistic approach to skateboarding.
Yeah, more realistic than Tony Hawk.
Certainly more realistic than Tony Hawk.
There's a lot of fun elements from Tony Hawk that do not exist in this game.
Right. Yeah.
Like, it's less arcadey, I would say.
It's way less arcadey.
So you can't like chain together things in crazy ways like you can in Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
Exactly. And it doesn't have, I mean, in comparison to Tony Hawk, it's a budget-looking game. I mean, there's not real real people that you can play as.
Yes.
The sound, like, so the soundtrack is all, like, as opposed to Tony Hawk's, you know, like, pop-punk alt, however you describe it, this is more of, like, older hip-hop, like 80s and 90s hip hop, which I assume was like a cheaper licensing than Tony Hawk. I don't know.
It probably was cheaper. I think that's a
stylistic choice.
Because like Chad Musco was big at the time, and Chad Musco was like a big hip hop guy, and he kind of made hip hop and skateboarding together.
Oh, a thing.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
So he, this game has, as opposed to, like you said, the pop-punk stuff and more popular stuff.
It's just got a different vibe. But the thing, it does, in comparison, seem more cheaply made.
Yeah, it does. This game has, like, Gangstar, Grandmaster Flash, Public Enemy, Run DMC, Ultra Magnetic MCs, Sugar Hill Gang, those type of people on the soundtrack, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
I would say my qualm, if we're going to get into it, with the soundtrack is that for each level there's a song, and there's a song that plays when you're in practice, and there's a song that you play when you actually start level, which is something that happens. So
you can change them, though.
You can change the songs?
Yeah, you can change your warm-up song and your session song.
Oh.
But I mean, you know, there's only so many, so
right.
You kind of burn yourself out on the soundtrack if you play the whole game.
Yeah, for me, I didn't realize that, so I just kept hearing the same songs over and over.
Yeah, definitely.
So this game, so you mentioned that it's Simmy. How is it Simmy?
The thing that stands out to me the most is that in Tony Hawk, you have an ollie button, and you ollie, and if you want to do a kickflip, once you're in the air, you hit square or right. whatever it is and do a kickflip. In this game, you decide your trick outside of grab tricks. You decide your flip tricks and like nollies and stuff like that.
While
you're on the ground before you launch the trick.
And it tells you in the corner, it says you're about to execute a kickflip.
Right. And so to me, that's more Simmy because, Mike, I don't know if you've ever tried to do a kickflip.
But you need to think about
it. But yeah, you need to think about doing a kickflip before you do the kickflip.
Right.
And you need to kind of like prepare your feet to do the kick of the kickflip.
Right.
And so I appreciate that. You know, as a mechanic, you know, you said earlier that like you can't link together huge, crazy combos in this game.
Right.
It's much more realistic in that, you know, you're trying to do, you know, you're approaching a bench, you're going to do a flip trick onto it. And then maybe if you have enough momentum, because there's like heavy physics to it.
Yes.
You know, when you grind, you slow down, whereas in Tony Hawk, each link you do like makes you go faster and faster and faster.
Right.
This, you like lose momentum, and so you need enough momentum to like launch off of a box or a bench and do another trick.
Yeah, and I would say one of the more impressive things about this game, too, is there's ragdoll physics.
Yeah.
So in a game that came out in 1999, you had ragdoll physics, which became a big thing more in like the PS3 era.
Yeah, I recall... I rented this game a number of times when my brother and I were little and it came out, even after we had played Tony Hawk. And I remember us just getting a kick out of ragdoll physics because we had never seen it before.
Right.
They do. So the levels are more or less, again, arcadey. There are more like, here's a skate park.
Right, they're more. They seem more grounded in reality.
Right, as there's some that like have, you know, wacky elements, like the train level where there's a train that goes through it that you have to avoid, and there's a level where there's a crazy driver.
Yep.
That you have to avoid.
Yeah, the taxi.
Yeah, crazy taxi. Crazy. That's
funny. It is. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that was intentional, but it might have been.
Was Crazy Taxi out by then?
1999, it came out. Probably not. Right. They probably didn't know about it. But yeah, this game, the interesting thing about this game is it was made in a vacuum before Tony Hawk Pro Skater came out. Like we said, before this game, there was, in 1998, there's a skateboarding game that came out for the PS1 called Street Skater with an 8.
Yeah. There was more than one of those games, right?
Maybe, but the thing about it was it wasn't like you were in an open environment just doing tricks. You were on a racetrack, and you could do tricks going down the racetrack.
Right, but it was point to point.
Right. But I was doing research, and I couldn't come up with a 16-bit skateboarding game, and I wonder if there is one out there. I'm probably just not thinking about it, but I was trying to like really, is there a SNES or is there a... Genesis game, and I just couldn't come up with one.
I mean, the game that sticks out in my mind was 720.
Yeah,
so I remember playing they had an arcade version with like the ball.
Yeah, that's more of an NES game. And right, Skater Die and Skater Die 2 came out for the NES as well.
Right. There was a game on the only related in that it's another extreme sports e game, but I remember playing a game on the Genesis. I think it was called like Sketchin'.
Oh, scat.
Where you were like rollerblading.
That is totally a...
And it was like kind of like Road Rash or Road Rage or whatever.
Yeah.
Road Rash. And yeah, you'd like sketch behind... Skitch or sketch?
I think it's Skitchin.
Skitchin.
Yes, it is Skitchin.
Yeah, you'd like sketch behind Jeeps and like punch skateboarders.
And that was more of like a race game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally forgot about that game.
Yeah, my cousin had it and I had a Nintendo and... He had like Mortal Kombat 3 and Skitchin, and I was jealous.
But there's no like trick-based skateboarding game.
Right, like open. I mean, 720 was open, like open level.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And like even Skater Die had different mini games that you could play where you could do tricks.
Right.
But yeah. It's weird.
Did Skate or Die, like, Paperboy-esque, where it was, like, also track, like a track, but you could just do tricks?
There was, like, six different games that you could play, and one of them was, like, a half pipe where you could do tricks.
Oh, right.
One of them was, like, going down a, like, course.
Yeah, they were, like, events.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then one of them, my favorite one was the battle one, where you're in a pool, and you have to go back and forth, and you have to hit a guy with basically, like, an American Gladiator stick.
Right.
That was
That's the die portion.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Though the level, I think the levels in this game are cool in that because of the heavy physics and because of, you know, the overall slowness to it, it does seem like you have to think a little more critically or intentionally
about what you're going to do.
Your line.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, you're going to get enough speed, hit this ledge or whatever and do a trick.
Right.
Whereas like Tony Hawk, you know, I feel like I haven't played it in a while, but I feel like you're going so fast all the time at Tony Hawk.
That's one of my criticisms about this game is it's very slow.
It's super slow.
It's incredibly slow.
And like maintaining speed is an aspect to it.
And when you crash or you wipe out and you have to get back started, it takes so long for you to build up speed.
I think this game is better in like the tricks I'm kind of describing, like the street esque sort of tricks, than like quarter pipes and half pipes,
right? Because that's not fun. Because you just do one trick and you come back down.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, I think also like in the when you're trying to actually be good at this game and like score points and win, it's not fruitful to be stuck on a half pipe.
Right.
You kind of want to be all over the level.
Yeah, one of the key aspects of this game is, so in the skate mode, which is the main mode of the game, you have six fictional characters to choose from, which is another differentiator from Tony Hawk, where you had real people and you kind of saw who you were doing.
And they have pretty drastic like stat differences.
But could you tell the difference?
I mean, I played, you know, different characters originally, you know, years ago, but I only played one character this time.
I played a couple characters and I couldn't really tell.
See it, okay.
Yeah, the difference. You enter a level and you have to get a certain amount of points. The thing about it is you have a practice mode. So you can go around the level for infinite time and try tricks and understand what the level has.
Yeah.
And then hit the select button and then you start the level and you run and you have a limited amount of time to get a certain amount of points. Yeah. And the number of points goes up for each level. And there are some levels that are just contest levels where you start and there's no practice mode.
There's a practice mode.
There's
just when you fall, there's a judge's penalty.
Yeah. Right. And there's also, for some levels, at the end of time, you get chased by a police officer or a grandmother or...
Or a crazy homeless person.
A crazy homeless person, and it shifts to their perspective.
Yeah.
And they come after you, and the more tricks you do, you get three times the points for each trick you do.
Yeah, if they're chasing you, you get bonus points.
Right, and you have to get to the exit before they get to
and
you.
And a lot of levels
or
I
get
found
away from them.
That was the best way to get the last X thousand points.
It gets really hard to accumulate points in this game.
Yeah.
To get to the level criteria. Did you beat this game?
I beat it. I mean, there was one level I didn't like, but I kind of had a good time replaying it. I had beaten it before a couple times when I was younger. Did you get to the, what do they call it? Like the aqueducts, the LA aqueducts?
I did not. I got to like 3/4, I would say, through the game.
Oh, I can't remember. I mean, did you get to L.A.?
Yes.
So, I can't remember. The first L.A. is Venice Beach, I think.
Yeah, and I beat that one, and then whatever the one after that is.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Didn't beat it.
Did you get to, like, a San Francisco-esque level? So I will say the levels are pretty drastically different.
Right.
I mean, you said, like, there's skate park competition levels that have like actual ramps and stuff like that.
Right, and half pipe-ish things.
Right, and then there's like very street heavy levels that don't even have a like strictly skateboarding object that you can use.
Right.
But then there's like an aqueducts level where it's all about, there's like a toxic sludge running down the middle of the level. And if you fall in that, you take damage. So there's like a damage. If you get 100 damage, I think your board breaks.
Yeah. And then you have to start over again.
That was really the only level that was relevant.
That's hard for you.
The damage mechanic. But yeah, it was hard because there weren't many spots to actually do tricks.
Right.
Which wasn't that great. But the other level I was thinking of is there's like a San Francisco level, I think it is, where you're essentially just going down all of these blocks, and it's just a downhill. But you have all these different like stairs and like sidewalks that you can do pretty cool tricks on.
It's interesting. Yeah, I mean, they are drastically different. I will say that a lot of them are uninteresting. Like, for example, that first LA one is like there's picnic tables in a square area that's boxed in, and then there's like a street. And there's like a beach that you can't go on because it's a beach, obviously.
Right.
And there's like, it's not.
There are like, I did find that, you know, it took me like 8 tries on a level to even find a section that I wasn't even aware of.
Right.
So, I mean, that was cool, but I would agree that most of them weren't super interesting.
And they're also like, not like bright colors. They're all drab and
very concrete.
Yeah. It's all grounded.
Yeah, which seems intentional, but I don't know if that makes it good.
No.
You know, you can, yeah.
On a scene like a horse in a stable. A brother got ill and tried to snap the fat cable. I stepped back like it wasn't no thing. Punched him in the jaw with the FACO ring. I had an ace in the hole when it came to that. Yo, P, you was packing. You know I was strapped.
One thing we should talk about is this game has a pretty deep multiplayer.
Yeah, I played a lot of the multiplayer when I was younger, my brother and I. You might be about to describe them, but there was one in particular where you have to take the most damage.
Oh, really?
Yeah, where you just go back and forth and whoever gets the most damage like wins that round.
Oh yeah, it's called Sick Fix.
So it's all about like just finding the biggest like ledge that you can launch yourself off of, and then
that sounds
really
fun.
I think you can pull R2 and L2 and you bail.
Oh yeah.
And so then you can like move your guy so that he lands on his face and you'll take more damage, and like then you want like, if you make it so that you land in a street and then a car comes and hits you, you like get even more damage. A lot of fun.
So yeah, so there's Sick Fix, which you just described. There's Sessions, which is a 2-minute run to beat the other player's score. There's Nickel Bag, which players take turns doing single tricks. The highest scoring single trick wins.
So those are like Tony Hawk.
Right.
They're both in Tony Hawk.
And then there's also Horse, which is also Tony Hawk. Top Dog, each player takes turns doing different tricks at 5 different spots. The highest point total wins.
Yeah.
There's Long Ride and Grind and Big Wall Ride. I should mention that wall riding in this game, when you actually do one, feels so good.
It feels real good. Yeah. And you can you can do it like, the game will recognize you doing it over gaps or,
right,
you know, I think you can do it over the train that you mentioned.
Right.
Yeah, that feels great. This game has manuals. I don't know if you ever did a manual.
I did.
I could never fully figure it out. So I think, what was it, Tony Hawk 2 introduced manuals?
Where you could link all of your tricks together?
Just do 2 minutes of one combo.
Yeah, I remember in Tony Hawk 3, I think you can unlock Wolverine, and he has like infinite grinding, and like, you just go balance around levels. Yeah.
I do wish that...
That game was awesome too, because like when Wolverine grinds, he like sticks out his claws and like goes around in circles and shit. It's crazy. That game's great.
Yeah, I wish manuals were better in this game. That's all I wanted to say. I wish you could like better link tricks, because you know they made linking, you know, different runs or whatever a little challenging. And so if you could actually do a manual, you know, I think it would have paid off like it helped Tony Hawk games.
Right. So this game has something that was endemic in the time period, but it was starting to fade away, which is funny for me to say this game has a lot of fog. You can't see very far ahead of you in this game. I mean, it's not like super important for you.
I believe it. Yeah, I just didn't.
There's a ton of fog.
Didn't even notice it.
I would say, too, that you have to hold X to kick, to like push yourself.
Speed up.
I found that after playing this game for like an hour and holding down X the entire time, my thumb was killing me.
So did you, I guess, because you know there's an expert mode.
Yes.
So I don't know if you know anything about expert mode, but I played a little bit of it. I think it unlocks after you beat the game. And you have to push a button to land.
Fuck this game.
Like, you have to push a button after your trick is done to get your guy, like, to stick out his arms and make sure he can land and balance.
Yeah. No, this game, no.
It's sweet.
No. Some things to think about in this game is, I was like looking up all skateboarding games because it's like trying to figure out where 16-bit, 8-bit, what skateboarding games were out there. Wikipedia has only 46 skateboarding games ever.
That seems like a lot, though, if you consider SNES. The SNES generation didn't have any.
Right. It's crazy to me that I think that that's very low. Because there's just not a lot of skateboarding games.
Yeah. This game's DNA, so like the Dave Mirra games came after it and had it. It must have been the same engine. It was the exact same, you know, idea of like damage.
They were bought. Z-Axis was bought by Activision in 2002, and they would go on to make Dave Mirra, BMX 1 and 2, and then Aggressive Inline, which I mentioned earlier.
But Skate and Skate 2 have a lot of this built into them.
Right.
Even down to the damage, because I remember even in college I was playing Skate 2 with my roommate, and we would just play the damage multiplayer over and over and over to just inflict the most pain on our characters.
Right. Yeah, I mean, Skate, people have said that this game is
an
influence on Skate.
Skate's just way better.
But where, I have to play Skate. I've never played it.
I believe a Skate 3 came out, but I think Skate 2 is like the considered kind of like the peak.
Well, everybody wants a Skate 4, so there's definitely a Skate
3. Oh, so there is a Skate 3. Okay.
But where does this go on our endless list? As we mentioned,
it's a great question.
It goes from Super Mario 64 to Jurassic Park Trespasser, number 57. This is our 58th game, our first ever skateboarding game. There's been a bunch of games from, has there been a bunch of games? There's been a couple games from 1999. So Crazy Taxi, as we mentioned, Pokemon Snap came out in 1999.
Garou,
Mark of the Wolves.
This game is not better than Garou.
No.
I'll say that.
It is not. Age of Empires 2 came out in 1999. A bunch of games came out in 1999. So, a thrasher. Personally, a couple things that I have, I do not like the controls. I found this game to be not fun for me to play. I thought that the thing that it was going for did not work for me in terms of you have to set up moves and then you have to make the moves. Like, that concept is okay, but everything in between there kind of sucks because you have to hold down a button to build up your momentum. You have 2 minutes to get all of the score. And if you wipe out and you land and you have to build that momentum up, it's like 15 seconds of 2 minutes to get back to where you need to get to go.
And I will say this game also sucks in that you can't restart a run. Manually skate
out
of the level.
And then restart.
Right.
That sucks. That really sucks. That was really frustrating.
Right.
Because this game would be a lot better if you could instantly restart. Yep. And I think that's a big thing with Tony Hawk and why it's so good.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can instantly restart those levels. Mm-hmm. Not only the fact that there's like collectibles and
there's a lot more going on.
Fun to do inside of the levels. And the levels are even more expansive.
And like far more detailed.
Right. And more colorful.
Yeah.
And all everything.
And I think the collectibles, like, they're different games, they're going for different vibes, but like a lot of that stuff could be in Thrasher without sacrificing what made Thrasher unique.
Because there's like the Venice Beach level, which was one of the last levels I played. they want you to skate up a ramp and go to an area and grind across the street to find a hidden area.
Yep.
But there's nothing for you to do there.
Right. I think the benefit is that you get a multiplier. They do like Tony Hawk, like recognize you doing tricks on certain objects
right.
and things like that. But yeah. Right. What's the motivation beyond high score?
You can't, there's no secret tapes.
There's no skate letters over right. there or.
I've gone back and forth on whether or not I think these games controls are terrible or just the Dark Souls of skateboarding games.
Very deliberate.
Very, very deliberate. Like,
and I dig it,
set
but
up what you
I can
do.
Recognize it's clunky.
It is very clunky, especially because it's a PS1 game.
Right.
True.
And the skate games, they were Xbox 360.
Right.
So it was clearly games had been more refined at that point.
I would say that there's a couple of games on this list that are very frustrating that I grinded through, but there were large sections of those games that I enjoyed, and this game did not have that enjoyment for me. So, like, for me, I got frustrated at parts with, like, a God of War or Spider-Man 2 or some of these other games. Deja Vu for me was frustrating at points.
I mean, Hexen had some hard things to get over.
Right, but those games I had derived a little bit of joy out of. I played Thrasher for like 4 or 5 hours, Matt, and I only made it like 3/4 of the way through.
If that. I think that's a little generous.
Right.
But yes, right.
There's 16 point levels, taken. I think. I made it to 10.
Okay.
So, yeah. It was just so frustrating, and I did put in the time to like try to get good at this game. I just could not do it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's. I played this game a lot when I was little, so I had, you know, I immediately knew how to play this game.
In progressing through the levels, there wasn't anything pushing me to go further, except for like, oh, you need to get a high score and you need to go to the next level. But the levels weren't like mind-blowing.
Yeah, and I mean, this kind of goes back to what we were saying in the beginning, that I think it's a kind of a budget game. Like, even the like rewards you get, like you end up getting sponsored and you can like change
right.
some of the skins for your clothing. It's like, none of that's interesting. None
right.
of it looks good.
No, your character doesn't look good. The character models don't look good.
Pretty much nothing in this game looks good.
I will say, though, I do think I like the PS1 like aesthetic in terms of like how the graphics are rendered and how things move. I just enjoy that. So I got some enjoyment out of just looking at this game
for some reason. Even comparing it. Right. Okay. Yeah. But even like we were saying, like Tony Hawk's like characters, levels, like aesthetically, they're just so much more detailed and
right.
there's so much. And I mean, they probably had different budgets, but
right.
you know, you're comparing everything in a vacuum.
Where do we put this game? I feel like I'm going to have to walk you back.
Yeah, I like this. Is it better to go down, you think? Would that be appropriate?
I'm going to have to push you down, I think.
Right, okay. So I'll start a little high. let's say this game is... Let's start maybe at 45, Pokemon Snap. I think this game is worse than Pokemon Snap.
Okay.
All
right. I can deal with that.
46, Night Trap. I think this game is...
It's way less interesting.
It's way less interesting than Night Trap. Yes. It's interesting, but Night Trap is more interesting.
Yeah, and I would also say that Night Trap is way more influential. Just not video games as a whole.
Yeah, I'll just have to take you at your word for that. I mean,
there's a rating system because of, because of Mortal Kombat and Night Trap.
But yeah. Pro Wrestling for the NES. Talk me through this. Why is Pro Wrestling for the NES better than Thrasher?
Yes. There's things on this list where I'm like, I look at some of these games and I like want to move them a little bit. So for me, for example, I don't think this game is better than Contra Hardcore. However, there's like things like pro wrestling and
yeah.
Deja Vu. And I think that if you look at everything aside from pro wrestling, I could see this game going through to Contra Hardcore. I could see this game going lower than pro wrestling for me. It kind of is a marker in terms of it's where it is because of its influence more so than its actual gameplay. I would say it holds up in terms of gameplay for the most part, just not a very deep game. I would say one thing comparing Thrasher to that game is the characters in pro wrestling are way more interesting.
They have more character.
Yes.
Pro wrestling also, like, it's hard for me to think of other 1v1 fighting or, like, you know, combat games
that were interesting from 1986.
That had, you know, any kind of depth at all to them.
Right.
Most of them probably were wrestling games, I feel like.
Well, there's like Karateka, which is like a karate game. There's Karate Champ, which is just a terrible game.
I've seen that, yeah.
But there are some like 1v1 games.
I guess what I'm saying is I think there's value to how early pro wrestling was in a, you know, just 1v1 fighting genre. I think this game keeps going down. I think it's I don't know much about Deja Vu, but I'm willing to accept. I mean,
it's.
Do you want to speak to that? That's 48.
I like the story in it. I like the. It's an NES game where you start without memory, and it's got just the fact that it's an NES game that has a solid story is interesting to me. You start off as a person who wakes up from amnesia in a bathroom stall. You reach for your coat. Behind your coat, there's a gun. You have to figure out why you're in a bathroom stall and what is going on around you. And there's a whole mystery that resolves itself. And this is a game.
That's like heady for the time, right?
Right. And it's originally came out on Macintosh, but eventually would come out in the NES. And it was ported to the NES and even in 88. So it's a fairly early game. And for it being a point-and-click adventure that was solid for that time period is... I still would much rather play Deja Vu than Thrasher. The same thing goes with Paperboy. Paperboy has just this feeling of you want to continue playing until you can get past the Grim Reaper and the RC car and the skateboarding person.
Right. But I will say I think Paperboy is where I start to slow down.
Okay.
Personally. Because for all its clunkiness, Thrasher still has like a somewhat creative depth to it. With respect to, you know, the levels are open. We've said that there's not many skateboarding games that have done that prior.
There wasn't any.
There's like a deliberate.
Except for like 720, which is open.
Right, yeah. There's a deliberate like heaviness to it. So, you know, you have to build in what you're doing as far as tricks and stuff. You have to keep all of that in mind.
I would say just from a design and concept standpoint, this game is probably more interesting than Zone of the Enders. Zone of the Enders is like white bread. Once you get down, there's some games in the 50-ish range that is just like Wonder Bread, right?
Right, agreed.
Like, we talked about Monsters in My Pocket a couple weeks ago. That game is the most bland game. It is very well... It's not even very well done. It's just like... It's an action platformer. It's easy as fuck. And it's just...
And it kind of just checks boxes, right?
It's guys like, come at you, you hit them. It's easy.
Right.
It's not hard. It's like goes through the formulaic thing of like boss encounters. So Thrasher's like... The same thing with Zone of the Enders. Zone of the Enders is like... Even the bosses, which you'd think would be super cool, like these, you could have these huge set pieces because they're like buildings. It's all flat and boring.
And I think what makes Zone of the Enders to me worse is that it's all of that, and it was still given this cool aesthetic to work with, and it just drops
it. The design of the mechs is phenomenal.
and nothing follows through in that game for me.
No.
Nothing rises to the level of how sick the mechs look and how cool the art is and like the design.
I will say, though, that I have more fun playing Zone of the Enders than this game, even though it's white bread.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that might be where we differ.
Okay.
Because, you know, before we came over, I played more Thrasher, and I was having fun.
All right.
You know? I don't know. Personally, I would put it at the new 50, below Paperboy and above Zone of the Enders. That's my personal opinion. Because you keep going down this list, like, Hardcore is arguably unplayable, like, you know.
You should play that game. I want you to play Contra Hardcore.
I'll give it a try.
To get on my...
I've played some of it, but I've not gotten very far.
It's hard.
Yeah.
I never would see this game going beyond Magic the Gathering.
Right.
Because this game is from a design and influence standpoint, more interesting than that game. I could see it going at its number 50. I don't like Zone of the Enders. I want to like Zone of the Enders.
I
want to
like it so bad.
Yeah, I want it to be interesting. Dude, I am a big Mobile Suit Gundam fan. And this game, that game is like Mobile Suit Gundam out the ass. And right. I just don't like that game. So
I am down with it being, with Thrasher Skatin' Detroit being our new number 50.
So our new number 50 game on our Endless list is Thrasher Skate and Destroy for the PS1, our first skateboarding game on the list. And you can check out the complete list on our Medium page. It's in our podcast description. And thank you, Matt, for joining us. Do you follow us on Twitter?
I don't have a Twitter.
At It's So Bad Pod. You can.
I would if I could.
You at home can also follow at It's So Bad Pod.
I highly recommend getting Twitter.
Yes, to follow us. Yeah. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, etc. Google Podcasts now, I think it's actually called. All of those places. And what else do I want to say? Oh, email us your suggestions.
Yeah.
We're going to do a suggestion. I'm going to do it by myself if I have to. On an upcoming podcast.
Yeah,
somebody suggested to us.
You picked the game I would prefer to play less than the other one.
Good.
I liked the other. I mean, we'll play both eventually.
Maybe we'll play both eventually. Oh, we definitely will, because we're going to play every game on this podcast, which we do. True. Every week we add a new game to our endless list, and this week we added number 50. Thrasher, we actually had number 58 at number 50 at Thrasher Skate and Destroy.
We might have to hand it off to a new generation at some point. I don't think we'll be able to play every game before we die.
I don't know. I plan on living forever.
It's a lot of responsibility.
Have you ever heard the band Alphaville?
No.
Well, they have a phrase that I think you need to understand. And that phrase is forever young. I want to be forever young.
Jay-Z?
Do you really want to live forever?
I heard the Jay-Z and cover ever? Of it, I guess.
But thank you, Matt, for coming on our podcast this week.
You're welcome, Michael.
We'll be back next week with another episode, I hope. We'll see. Time will tell.
Or the next generation.
Sooner or later, time will tell.
Yes. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.